the flames of my horizon are at my door. I'm staring at the ruins scattered on the floor. This fire never sleeps. His fire never sleeps. I see that hope is coming. So pull me from the ashes. Ignite my soul. Please burn away the darkness. 'Cause love is like a furnace where your fire never sleeps. your love cannot tear it down. There is a hope that's light. I feel it burning on the inside. There is a blood that's overcome. Oh King, let your kingdom come. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation praise your name. God who restores. Just one word, the world was formed. You are the Spirit whose light breaks forth like the dawn from night. You are the one who holds the keys. Every battle's your victory. Yes, it is. Yours is the blood that's overcome. Oh, King of Kings, let your kingdom come. Hey, hey, hey. God, let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. Yeah. All of the earth, all of creation praise your name. Yeah. Let every heart, let every soul praise. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. You are the God who restores. You are the God who restores. You are the God who restores. Just one word, the world is gone. The Spirit whose light breaks forth like the dawn from night. You're the one who holds the keys. Every battle's your victory. Get that one. Yours is the blood that's overcome. Oh kings, let your kingdom come. Yeah. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation praise your name. Let every heart, let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth. Darkest of days. Your light is brighter than the sun. It's stronger than the rain. Yes, it is. Your love has overcome the darkest of days. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of God. Praise your name.
Oh, let your fire fall. We are in need of you. Our hearts are longing for your presence. Lord, let your fire fall. We are in need of you. Our hearts are longing for your presence. Lord, let your fire fall. We are in need of you. Our hearts are longing for your presence. Lord, let your fire fall. We are in need of you. Our hearts are longing for your presence.
Your presence, your presence. We need you, Lord, your presence. Your presence. We need you, Lord, your presence. Your presence. I 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 need you, Lord, your presence. Your presence. Nothing else will do.
Pray.
tasted and seen of the sweetest of lambs. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord, and Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fly this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of lambs. Where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, in Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fly this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Yes, your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence,
restore every heart that is broke. Sing that again. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring life. You give hope. in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
Yeah.
So we pour out our praise.
Wash over us, God. New life. New love. Bring light to our darkness. Restore the brokenhearted. Restore, 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 Lord. Restore right now. The lonely. The lonely.
Thank you. to sing your way into the truth. I love that. Sometimes you got to sing your way to the truth. So if you're struggling with lack of hope, sing, let it rise.
But when I was a kid, they used to say, there was a commercial that said, if you want strong bones, you have to eat Wonder Bread, you know? I just felt like God said, but when you sing, when these bones sing, that Jesus is like our spiritual Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
He's the one that strengthens your spiritual bones. Like, you know what to do in the natural. Take your calcium, eat your Wonder Bread. But he said, I'm the Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
I'm the Wonder Bread that's going to cause hope to arise from dead bones. What you think is dead bones, when you look down in your valley and you go, all you see is dead bones, Jesus said, I'm the Wonder Bread for that. I'm going to bring that to life. I'm going to breathe on that, and you're going to see the bones dancing. You're going to see the flesh come on the bones, and you're going to see it come alive. That hope that seems dead, that valley that seems dead, it's coming alive. Sing over your valley. Sing over your valley.
So did anybody happen to notice we changed up our connection cards? It's going to be good. Because right here, oh man, I need my glasses to even read it. So pathetic. It says, what did you see or hear from God during today's service? On the front? Because I want to hear that stuff. Even if you don't have the guts to get up and on the microphone and tell me, you know, that's all right. Just write it down here. What did you see or hear from God during the service today? And then on the back, it says, what has God done in you or for you recently? Because I love testimonies. I love testimonies. So you don't even have to give us your name if you don't want to. You can make it completely anonymous. But we love to hear from you. So if you want, there's some other stuff on there too, but those are the two I wanted to highlight today. So at any point during the service today, if you want to write down something you feel like God shared with you during the service or did for you or did in you, we want to hear about it. And also, I have a few testimonies I think I want to hear today out loud. I asked Jerry if he would share just a little testimony about... Okay. Did I mute it? There it is. Okay, Jerry, bring it. Miracle, walking miracle right here. He's a walking miracle. You can use my table if it'll help.
Sure. I just need to have this up.
I should probably sit down, huh?
It's a little difficult. So, about 3 weeks ago, I decided during church that I wasn't feeling quite right. And I'd had some signs that something wasn't going right with my body, and I didn't feel like I was getting enough circulation, and I was not sure, so I went and checked the web, and I saw something that kind of gave me a little bit of a fright. So I went and talked to Sean. I said, I think we need to go to the hospital and get this checked out. Before I go on, when I was very young in the Lord, I had some wonderful people speak into my life. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. And when I say them, when God says them, he was speaking about the giants in the promised land. He says, for the Lord God goes with you, and he will never leave or forsake you. Amen. That verse is repeated three times in the Bible. It's again in verse 7 through 8. Of Deuteronomy, and then in Joshua 1:1. So I had Richard Exley when I was very young. I went to a men's conference. He spoke this into my life. It's the first time I actually was kind of slain in the spirit. And he came over me when I was coming up. He said, God's not done with you yet. He spoke this verse over me. And I continued to lay in the presence of God for about 5 minutes. It may have been longer, but that was kind of a very important verse that was spoken over me. William Nathan grab hold of this, because it's not just for me, it's for you. So let's go back to the our little visit with the emergency room at Hillcrest Hospital, which I couldn't have gone to a better place for my treatment. The people there got me in within 5 minutes, and yes, they do treat people according to urgency with heart care. So it was just really fast. going into the treatment room, and they took my blood sample. They did a EEG or EKG, and the guy looks at me and goes, well, that's textbook. And I said, textbook what? Textbook good, textbook bad? He goes, no, that's textbook. Yeah, that's perfect. So that just said that my heart was healthy. And they went and they did the blood tests, and they said, well, all your enzymes and everything are fine. There's nothing here that's saying that you had a heart attack or anything like that. And throughout the whole time I was in the hospital, my heart enzymes never went out of normal ranges. But there was definitely a problem. I wasn't getting circulation. And so they went and they did a EEG, or a electrocardiogram, where they put you in the big ultrasound booth, and they did see that although my chest had a few points that could have been thickening of the arteries, they kind of remarked that my vasculature was different, and they said remarkably different than normal, which probably means that your bodies will start to heal themselves. So it had already started to revascularize around the areas that were blocked. So they said, well, you have a choice. And they gave me a choice of either having a stress test and a catheterization where they would put a stent in, or just going for the catheterization, which really made me feel like they wanted me to be a part of the decision-making process. So I think God was there at that point, which he made me feel confident that they were not just going to tell me what to do. They were giving me input. So I just decided, well, I said, if we do the stress test, are you still going to have to do the catheterization? They said, yeah. I said, well, let's just do the catheterization. That's going to give you all the answers. So they did it, and the doctor worked very, very hard to try and get through. He used like 7 or 8 different catheters to try and get through, and they couldn't get through the first blockage. And after doing the x-ray at the time when they were doing the catheterization, they realized that I had a 100% blockage, a 90-something percent blockage. They said I was hanging on by a thread with that one, and an 80% blockage. So basically I only had one normal artery serving the rest of my body, which kind of explains why I was sort of falling asleep after lunch at work. I was having some hard time when I was going to the gym getting past that initial hurdle of, you know, the wall, so to speak. But still, I felt great. I mean, I had that tingling every once in a while, but I felt great. And when the doctor said on the table, you're going in for open heart surgery tomorrow, which is like, whoa. You know, you think, oh, the catheter is going to be, you know, open up the artery and you're going to be fine. So I went from just thinking I was going to get a stent to having to swallow that, you know, they're going to crack my sternum open and play around with my heart. But I think God still, at that point, gave me a sense of peace that he was with me and that he was taking care of me and he wasn't done with me yet. I had been kind of prepared, in a way, from Dave's prayer the week before that and Sandy's word that said God's doing things in a different way. He's working in a different way. Things are going to be remarkably different than what normally happens. And throughout my testimony, which is, it may be longer than you might have expected, but there's so many things that God has done through this that I have to share as much as I can remember. As I was brought out of the procedure room and back into the ICU, I was sitting there going, okay, Sean is strong, but this is going to be kind of a shock. And I was going, I pray somebody else is here. Somebody else be here. Because the doctor's not here to share this with Shauna, and I don't want to let this news fester. Because it's better to get it out right away. So Shauna walks in. I'm almost ready to cry. And then Doug walked in. Thank God he was there. I just said, Shauna, it's not great news. I'm going to have open heart surgery tomorrow. And I felt it was probably very blunt and probably a shock to her, too. But she's been very strong through this whole thing. So we got past that. There was a little bit of tears, but the doctors worked very quickly to get me to my room and get me stabilized. Once they put me on nitro and heparin, which is a blood thinner, basically all the symptoms that I had were gone. So the whole time I was sitting there from Sunday or what was it? Tuesday they did the catheters? Or Monday? Monday, I think they did the catheter. From Monday until Thursday, when they were actually going to do the surgery, originally I thought it was going to be the next day that I did the surgery, but the doctor had to leave town for a day. It ended up being Thursday. So from Monday till Thursday, they basically had me on these blood thinners and nitro to keep me from clotting and keep my capillaries open or my blood system open. But that whole time I had no pain. I was remarkably comfortable, and they kept coming in asking me, how's your pain level? How's your pain level? I said, I don't feel anything. I mean, other than knowing that I have these blockages, I feel great. And that's remarkable. Because there were people that were coming in and out of surgery, the same surgery I had, in beds next to me. And I actually got to see them going through the recovery process, mm-hmm. which was remarkable for me because it prepared me mm-hmm. for what was going to happen. And I saw these people are making it through. And then my surgeon sent his people through, and they talked to me, and they prepared me, and they gave me everything I needed to know. But he came in after I had had an ultrasound to make sure that my vasculature was suitable for doing a graft. You see my nice little scar here. And he came in, and he just basically was there for about 3 minutes. But in that 3 minutes, he told me more than I could ever need to know. He said, you're young, your vasculature is perfect, your heart was not damaged, you did not have a heart attack. He said, we'll be able to take the arteries that will last you a lifetime versus taking a vein from your leg that would take maybe last for 10 years. So other than the blockages in my heart, everything else in my body was healthy, which is a miracle. So he was just able to assure me that things were going to be okay. And that was just, I know that was God just saying, hey, I got this. You are okay. You're going to make it. I think before I went into surgery, I got onto Facebook, which I don't get on very often. I just wrote, God isn't through with me yet. And I stick by that. He's not done. So as I was preparing to go into surgery, God kind of wrapped his arms around the world, and I had prayers coming from friends and co-workers and church members and people I've known from Brazil, China, Colorado, California, all of you. gifts and meals and prayers and neighbors mowing my lawn out of the blue. And now it's just God's spirit working through the church and through all my friends. I just know that he just wrapped the world in prayer for little old me. And then after the surgery, which was tough, but I had gotten visits from Sandy and the Dodds and Doug and Rhonda and Kevin and Heather. And I know Roger and Meg were praying. Where was I? Almost done. So after the surgery, another remarkable thing, they kept coming in and asking me, what's your pain level? Of course, they had me on Percocet and different pain pads and all that, but still, there's no pain. There's a lot of numbness, which is still there, but no pain in any of my incisions that they did. I had other pains that were like muscular pains around my back and everything else, and I kept describing to them, I don't really have a pain here. I don't have a pain here. I don't have a pain in my heart. The pain is just like muscular stuff, and it's been that way to the day. And I start getting some tingling where the nerves are starting to reactivate, but it's not more than just like a little shock and maybe a little bit of a hard time getting my breath sometimes, because when I started walking, I could walk maybe from here to that speaker and back, first walk I took. And then it was from, you know, maybe around this area, the next walk, and around the whole room, the next walk. So it progressed quickly to being able to walk more distance. And they didn't leave me in my bed. They made me get up and walk, which was good. And now I'm able to walk to Doug and Rhonda's from my house or around the block a couple, 2 to 3 times a day. Which when it's raining, I still have to get myself up and go, because if I don't, I really notice that I go back downhill a little bit. But back to that whole thing with the pain. When the nurse came, I got released within 7 days of the surgery, and it was kind of surprising. On one hand, I felt like I was overwhelmed with the thought of going home, but on the other hand, I said, the doctors can't do anything more for me, so I'll go home. And when the nurse came, she was terrified of coming to see me, because historically, 40-something-year-old people that have open-heart surgery cannot manage their pain. They came in, and I had taken my blood pressure every day. I had written down all my medications that I'd taken. I still do that. I had taken my weight every morning, and everything that I had done, they were just like, these are not what normal patients do. They're always complaining about pain. And she's like, what's your pain level? I said, 2 out of 10. And they're like, you're doing everything right, and you are a remarkable case. And I just give that to God. He definitely has had his hand on me the whole time. So what can I share with you guys as another real remarkable thing? My coworkers who really stepped up for me to take on a lot of my duties at work. They took it upon themselves after hearing what I went through. They're now at every lunch hour, every day of the week, they're doing a 1 mile walk to get themselves in better shape. My cousin, who was in charge of cardiac rehab at the Cleveland Clinic, he's taken it upon himself to improve his health, and he's doing more exercises, and he's changed his diet. And I think that's remarkable. God's using this to change people's lives. And any of you that have challenges, if you think you can't give up smoking or if you think you can't change your diet, lean on God and he'll help you. Because otherwise, I don't know. I had already changed my diet, but right now I'm eating probably a quarter of what I used to eat in every meal. And I'm mixing in the fruits and vegetables instead of a lot of fats and low sodium. It's amazing. No soda. I've cut out beer too, and I do like to have my beer. I love my IPAs. And for now, that's just not part of what I can do. And maybe occasionally I can have a glass, but for now I'm out. It's out of my diet. But God's worked with that. He's peeled off almost anywhere from a half a pound to a pound a day since I got out of the hospital. I've lost 25 pounds. I was 240 when I went in. Right now I'm at 213 points something. That's amazing. And my target is right now to get to 200. And they say I should be at 285 or 275. And I think I'd be probably a gaunt ghost by the time I got that low. But let's get to 200 and, you know, set a goal. And I think it's very reasonable. I'm only 13 pounds away. And then God also honored us with another sound man. Ron, you did a wonderful job today. Thank you. I just found out that he's not just a member of the church, but he's had experience with a very large ministry doing sound. And, you know, he just happened. It's not just happened. God placed him here. And it's not just because I got sick. We're going to need a strong man back there when Roger has to take some time off. But I will be stepping back in shortly to help out and be back in the mix. I miss it. But I'm just thank God that you were there and that you stepped up at a time such as this. So that's it. Awesome. But thank you all for all your support. Appreciate it.
Thank you, God. He is a walking miracle, right? Yeah. It's amazing, God. And as soon as when I went to see him before the surgery, Bob and Suzanne were there. And as we were praying, I just felt like God reminded me that we have a grace in our church right now for rapid recovery. We just do. And so that's what I see in Jerry, rapid recovery grace, right? So thank you, God, for that testimony. And Rhonda has a testimony I wanted to share, too. She texted me yesterday, just a quick, fun testimony. Yeah. And I love God's diversity. That's what I love. So I want both of these shared today because they're so completely different.
Yeah, I have a T-shirt that said, I'm not short, I'm fun size. So. Wonder bread, you know. I listen to the radio when I work because I work by myself at home. And it's a local station, and they have a birthday club. And I've been signing people up for it. I think Roger won a few years ago. But I never won until my birthday this year. And it was funny because my birthday was two Sundays ago, so I couldn't listen if I won, you know. But I went to the mailbox yesterday, and I had this envelope from the radio station. It was full of gift certificates from all these cool places. And I texted Sandy because I said, you know what, Sandy, I really don't ever win anything, but we've been doing this offering declaration, and I win all this cool stuff. So I just wanted to thank the Lord. You know, he gave me gifts and surprises yesterday.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think that's so fun. When I got that text, I'm like, woohoo, gifts and surprises. That's awesome. Wow, I love celebrating God's goodness.